planning for financial disaster if Greece were to abandon the euro. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Greece's new prime minister today proclaimed an end to austerity that has been a corrosive burden on the Greek population for years now. Rhetorically, at least, he started to reverse what he called 5 years of bailout barbarity. BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker is on the line from London. Good morning, Andrew.
Hello, David.
The only thing for the Greek prime minister is that if he's going to increase government spending on, let's say, minimum wage or pensions, he needs to find the money.
Yes, and he has indicated that he doesn't want to find it by means of extending the formal bailout. What they want is some sort of bridging loan from the rest of the eurozone. And I can tell you that what we've learnt this morning here at the BBC is that the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, chaired a meeting of senior officials a few hours ago to look at the possibility of how we in Britain would be affected by Greece leaving the eurozone, because they think the chances of that happening have increased.
I suppose that's Greece's bargaining chip, that if it were to have to leave the eurozone, that horrible term, Grexit, Greek exit, global financial mayhem could ensue.
And you have to ask, just how credible is that? Because the world is not like it was back in 2011, 2012, when the collateral damage to the international financial system from a Greek exit would have been, in all probability, quite severe. I think the view taken around the eurozone is that while it's something they would prefer to avoid, there are fire breaks in place that do mean that the damage, they think, could be relatively contained.
BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel meets with President Obama in Washington today following a weekend visit with Russian President Vladimir Putin that she deemed disappointing. The German leader is trying to halt the escalating conflict between Ukraine and Russian-backed separatists amid calls for the U.S. to arm Ukrainians. Marketplace's Stan Alcorn has more on the backdrop of economic sanctions on Russia.
No country in Europe does more trade with the U.S. than Germany. But Jacob Kierkegaard at the Peterson Institute says Merkel's being invited less for issues of country than of continent.
To answer the old Kissinger question, if you want to call Europe, well, right now the best person to call is Angela Merkel.
Kierkegaard thinks this call will focus first on the worsening violence in eastern Ukraine. He expects Obama and Merkel to talk sanctions, perhaps widening them from Russia's state-owned companies to more in the private sector.
Basically, what they're trying to do is to impose or inflict sort of a Lehman Brothers, a sudden stop of all types of financing.
Beyond Russia, the agenda includes everything from transatlantic trade to promoting global economic growth, which the German Marshall Fund's Peter Sparling says points to another conflict between a new Greek government that wants less painful bailout terms and the so far unmoved European lenders led by Germany.
What is happening right now can maybe be best described as a game of chicken.
In this game, Sparling says Obama is largely on the sidelines, hoping there won't be a collision. I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
But now there's news this morning that European Union leaders have just put off for a week new sanctions against Russian companies and individuals to help a peace initiative gain momentum. There are kidney donors, blood donors, and sperm donors. Increasingly, some women donate breast milk. But as Michigan Radio's Kate Wells reports, for-profit breast milk companies have some nonprofits worried.
When Allison Richardson's baby was born premature, he was just 1 pound, 11 ounces.
This is William Haig Richardson IV. He is now 5 pounds, 13.9 ounces.
She says a big reason that William is doing so well is that the hospital brought in donor milk when her own supply fell short. For years, hospitals have gotten that donor milk from nonprofit milk banks. But now there are for-profit milk companies like Oregon-based Medilac. Medilac pays for the breast milk that they get from moms like Andrea Short of Newport, Michigan.
She was probably 4 months old when I realized I had a overflow problem.
Short's daughter, Johanna, wasn't latching, so she had a freezer stuffed with excess breast milk. Selling her excess milk to Medilac at $1 an ounce helped her lower-income family. And it got her breastfeeding Johanna even longer than she had planned.
It was a great incentive for me to continue and make a little bit of extra money and help some other babies who need it.
Over time, Short says she sold about 6,000 ounces of breast milk to Medilac. But before this, she was donating her milk to the nonprofit milk bank in Kalamazoo, Michigan, the one that supplies the hospital treating baby William. Cindy Duff runs that milk bank. She says lately their donations have dropped sharply enough that they have had to send some patients to other milk banks out of state. And she's critical of Medilac for not disclosing exactly where it sends its milk.
My concern is that, you know, we want to be able to have the milk necessary to process for the babies in Michigan. And if the milk goes to a for-profit and it's not even being dispensed to anyone in Michigan, that's concerning.
Medilac declined to be interviewed on tape for this story, but in an email, a spokesman says the company cannot say which hospitals it sells to because of non-disclosure agreements. The spokesman does say that all of the milk Medilac collects is given exclusively to sick infants. I'm Kate Wells for Marketplace.
And the second largest bank in the world, HSBC, today acknowledged what it called failings at its Swiss subsidiary. The International Consortium of Investigative Journalists had gotten a hold of documents with new details on how HSBC's Swiss operation had seemed to go out of its way to help wealthy clients hide their wealth and dodge taxes. A former computer guy at the bank leaked the documents. CBS 60 Minutes had a piece on this last night. HSBC used to be the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank and is based in London. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.